things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? I'm good. Listen to how happy we sound.
I know. It's a lie.
Oh boy. You can tell we're in customer service.
Hi.
It's a great day in my spare bedroom. How the hell are ya?
Well, shit.
Things are not going great on either side.
We're both trying to move.
And why? Like, we're normally on top of this. Like,
yeah.
We need to have, like, a 45-day, like, window frame where one of us is not moving.
Right.
But I just don't think...
That's gonna happen.
No, it's not gonna happen.
No.
Well, I move, like, in real lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I move next weekend.
Yeah.
And you're just starting to pack.
Right.
So we're about to flip-flop rolls.
Flippity-flop-flop.
Let's do one, two, a little flipperoni.
Oh, my goodness. We have... It's, like, quarantine... It's not even technically over yet. It's just, like, America's, like, we're done with this.
Well, you see, there's, like, this whole, like, race war revolution happening.
Yeah.
And so COVID's, like, kind of on the back burner.
Right. Which also means that, like, all of our social events... And social lives have, like, popped out of nowhere, but they're in overdrive because we couldn't do anything
for
90 days.
Everybody's trying to make up time, but it's like, I've still been busy during this quarantine.
Yep.
And now I'm 90% overbooked.
Right. And I think, like, for people like me that I'm normally pretty booked, I'm overwhelmed with how booked I am. I have, like, responsibilities.
Responsibilities
that I gotta figure out. Like, I'm so sorry, I can't come to your social event.
I have said no so many times. One of my friends was like, I really need to have like a girls' night, and I was like, how does July look?
100%.
Because June's not looking great for me.
Mm-hmm. Somebody just asked me the same question, and I was like, listen, June is out.
June's done.
I'm so glad that you're my best friend. Because, like, if we didn't have this podcast...
We wouldn't see each other.
We would be saying no to each other.
I know.
And that results in bad mental health.
There was a week or two where...
It was like 5 days.
We went from, like, recording on, like, a Sunday to, like, a following Thursday. Like,
yeah.
10 days.
Uh-huh.
And we were both like, this isn't okay.
No, we were both like, no, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. But my anxiety, like, tells me, like, if I don't hear from people that, like, I did something wrong or somebody's mad at me. And I've had this long enough to know that that's not true. But that's still what my brain says.
Yeah, it still happens. It's the infamous IHOP intervention.
Oh, yeah.
All over again.
Oh,
rightfully
yeah.
So. I deserved it. I was a hot mess.
That
when
was
I
a
was
long
20.
Time ago.
I was 24. I was 24 years old.
Oh, baby.
Sorry. I have... My finger was in my mouth because I have anxiety and I'm doing nothing but chewing on my fingers.
Oh, me too. I had, like, actually, like, I peeled off a piece of my cuticle and there was, like, blood everywhere.
Oh, I love that. Look, I have that on this finger.
Me too.
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
Twins. Love this for us. So this is going to be, like, a down and dirty episode because Taylor and I have shit to do.
But we both managed to research last minute.
Uh-huh.
But, like, a little more last minute than normal. Like, normally I'm, like, getting it done, like, the night before. And I'm like, oh, my God, I feel so behind. And, like, I literally was printing this off. I was supposed to be at Jenny's at 4 o'clock. And I was printing at 4:10.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I hate being late more than I hate most things.
I looked at my clock and it was 4:11. And I was like, huh, I wonder if Taylor's okay.
Like, I hate being late. And so I was like, oh, my God. So if there are bullet points that are out of order, I didn't get a real quick read through.
Oh, that's okay. I did this. I had, like, insane allergies yesterday.
Oh, God.
While I was trying to, like, pack all the last minute things. And so I took, like, antihistamines from my doctor. And then the rest of the day was a blur.
And then you got sleepy.
And then I got sleepy at, like, 7:30. And then I woke up in my bed at, like, 9 this morning.
Nice.
So I did this right before I fell asleep on the couch. So we'll see what's in here.
I'm excited. One last thing about being stressed out, and then we'll let you get to the story. I've never been... I'm a stressed out person, like, generally. But it's, like, a weird combination of, like, stress and allergies where now every time I sneeze, one of my eyes twitch.
long?
Not long, like 30 seconds.
Okay.
But it is every time I sneeze, and I have allergies. And this has been going on for days.
Oh, my God. Welcome to your 30s. Yeah. This is really fun.
Weird stuff.
I'm having a great time.
So today's a mashup. Episode. We're doing... Do you want to tell them what we're doing?
We're doing Slender Man.
With the big, ooky, spooky, lanky boy.
Ooh.
Love him.
So I knew a little bit about Slender Man, and I knew a little bit about the true crime-related portion of this, but... This got deep. I'm impressed.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
On your end?
Yeah. And, like, the fact that this has been around not very long, like, 2008, 2009, something like that. Like, and it's been newsworthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're spot on with your date. Because unlike most urban legends, we can trace Slender Man back to an exact point in time, which was June 8th. 2009.
Oh, nice. Yeah. We're graduating high school.
We had just graduated high school for like a week.
Newborn baby adults.
Where? Oh, we were not adults.
I mean, I guess technically, legally under the state of Indiana, we were adults, but like mentally not quite.
Ooh. I mean, you've been 40 since you were 12. Mm. So I was not an adult. I was struggling quite a bit. But if this is your first time on the internet, welcome. Let's tell you about Slender Man.
Oh, and by the way, you're Jenny. I'm Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
This is a little bit grim.
It's a podcast that we're doing right now this second. Yep. You found yourself here.
Welcome.
We're just a little slop-potamus today, aren't we?
I love it.
So Slender Man is a pure product of electronic media. He's unlike any other folklore that we ever cover because he's like... You and I like old stuff. He is not rooted in history.
No.
He was created, and we can trace him through the infinite, you know, never deleted pit that is the internet. he appears in places we really don't go these days, like abandoned crumbling halls, deep woods, a playground, like rickety steel jungle gyms.
Ooh.
Like... Places that people don't really go because people don't go outside, especially now because we're in quarantine.
Right.
So like I said, he was born on June 8th, 2009 on a forum site frequented by Photoshop pranksters. He belongs to a guy in Florida named Eric Knudsen. He now has a young daughter and is surprised as much as anything that his demon hasn't yet been thrown onto the heap of forgotten memes. He's shocked that he's actually, like, withstood
the test of time.
It's been 10 years, and we're still talking about him.
Right.
He first appeared on the Something Awful forums.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been?
Ryan is a big fan.
Let me tell you, it really is Something Awful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like if we had, like, a sister website.
Okay.
under a thread titled Create Paranormal Images. So it was just, like, a bunch of Photoshop nerds who, like, took old photos and added something, like, creepy crawly.
I love that.
I do. And he was just like, yeah, this. So when he posted it, one user called Slidebite said, you just know a couple of the good ones are going to eventually make it to a paranormal website and be used as genuine. And he was exactly right. The first image of Slender Man is a tall, out-of-focus figure next to a tree. And it was accompanied by a bit of text that kind of sounds like dialogue from a badly translated horror game. It reads, one of two recovered photographs from the Sterling City Library blaze, notable for being taken the day which 14 children vanished and for what is referred to as the Slender Man. Deformities cited as film defects by officials, the fire at the library occurred 1 week later. The actual photograph was confiscated as evidence.
Hmm.
1986, photographer Mary Thomas, missing since June 13th, 1986.
All right.
So, ookie, spooky.
Yeah, I love reading these kind of things.
Like, yeah, I do too. I got into a deep creepypasta rabbit hole.
Oof.
For a minute.
Yeah.
And,
like researching this? Or research as a general.
You know, like researching this, and then I was on like quite a bit of like antihistamines, and so I was just like.
You said like such an old person.
I am!
I wasn't drunk. drunk. I was high. I had like one too many.
Too many allergies. I had a Benadryl and it really did me in for the evening. Just me alone on my couch.
Okay.
With my cat on my lap reading spooky stories a 13-year-old wrote on the internet.
The best.
I love it. Good Saturday. Saturday night. So other posters added their own interpretations of the material, and they created a backstory that stretched to 16th century Germany and even to 5000 BC.
Oh my. So he's not old, but they made him old.
They made him old. It snowballed into this huge fanfic.
I love that.
It's fascinating how the internet gets a hold of something.
Won't let go.
No. And they... It's a hive mind. Mm-hmm. So the creator, Victor Serge, is his, like...
Is Eric.
Yeah.
Okay.
Added a few more photos while other visitors created their own. A particularly clever image is of a modified woodcut. So it was, like, old art from 16th century Germany that somebody carved into wood, and somebody on Photoshop edited it digitally.
Oh my gosh.
And so, and we'll post this on our Instagram, but it's like a skeleton takes a child from its parents, perhaps into death. Obviously I'm into death. It was, mm-hmm. If a skeleton is snagging your child, it's dead.
Yeah.
But in the modified version, the skeleton has long arms and legs, and it has a misshapen skull that is hidden by the eaves of the house. So they edited the skeleton to look like Slenderman, and then created this whole backstory about how the Germans have, like, an urban legend about this creature. So, over the intervening months, Something Awful posters and fanfiction enthusiasts added to the corpus, and he gained a specific definition courtesy of a poster on Yahoo Answers.
Yeah.
So this is in 2011.
Okay.
It's 2 years after the original posts. Somebody asked, you know, who the hell is Slenderman? And the answerer?
Yep.
The person who answered.
Yep.
Said that Slenderman is a supernatural creature that is described as appearing as a normal human being, but is 8 feet tall. He has vectors or extra appendages that are described to be as sharp as swords. The creature is known to stalk humans and cause many disappearances. He is described as a shadow creature that has a missing face. The creature fits into many mythologies and legends from nations such as Germany and Celts, which bring up the possibility that he could be real.
Hmm.
But, like, now we know that the stories from Germany and the Celts are made up.
Right.
A man named Victor Serge found this legend and made his own version of it, which he called Slenderman. The Slenderman is not exactly evil, according to mythology, but Victor Serge's version shows him as an evil creature that stalks humans to kill. In mythology, he was actually trying to save you from a painful death by taking you to the underworld early.
Hmm.
But it's all just made up.
Yeah.
It's just all made up. So, Slenderman does not directly kill his victims. Instead, he encourages others in order to please him. So, he, like, encourages people to cause harm, to appease whatever cabin in the woods kind of shit is going on there.
Right.
Interestingly, the places he haunts are all but gone now, thanks to breathless news coverage of murder and mayhem. Children don't, parents don't let their kids just, like, go play in the woods until it's night out and then come home.
Nah. It's not the 90s anymore, friends.
No, it's not the 90s. The fact that he exists at all is a testament to the eerie pull of these places. So there's a whole Reddit thread just about Slenderman. And some person wrote, and I just took this, their username is MLPTTM.
Okay.
Mulptum. who said, I like him because most creepypastas try to scare you with blood, gore, and if you're lucky, hyper-realistic blood. Slenderman scared me of psychological horror, making me scared of fuels, trees, and sometimes nothing. He has made me as paranoid as I've been in my life, and I love the thrill. His design is simple and terrifying because it can make him visible in a field or invisible in a forest. His humanoid figure makes him seem real, like him stalking you can happen. I think the biggest thing that makes him interesting is that nobody has any full idea what happens when he gets to you.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yuck.
It's scary because a lot of those, there's like some kind of resolve mm-hmm. in scary, demon-y, mythological, whatever, like Krampus. If you're a bad kid, he shoves you in a bag and he takes you away.
Right.
But this has no resolve to it.
Yeah, there's no, like, conclusion or consequence.
No, and all of the copypastas, which I have one.
Ooh.
And I will read it to you.
Amazing.
Just end such as this one. So, let me put on, like, an ASMR voice and read a story to you.
All right, we're going to lower the lights.
I'm
going to get comfy.
Mm-hmm, get a blanket and cup of tea. After waking up with a jolt, the girl laid in bed a few seconds longer. Reaching over to switch on her bedside lamp, she tried to remember exactly what had stolen her sweet slumber away. When she couldn't, the brunette swung her legs over the side of the bed and heaved herself up. Checking the time on her phone, she snorted when she saw it was midnight, the witching hour. Knowing that sleep would only evade her, she left her bedroom for the kitchen, a good cup of coffee on her mind. As she passed by her front door, a chill spread like liquid fire down her spine. It's only winter, she told herself, focusing again on the coffee plan. Measuring out scoops, water, and preparing her cup kept her occupied, but as the dark liquid boiled, she had nothing left to keep her mind from wandering off. The chill returned, and she couldn't help but glance behind her to the front door. It stood there innocently enough, just like always. The deadbolt was still in place, and she could see nothing amiss with it. Turning back to her coffee, she did her best to forget about the feeling. With her cup in hand, she started back towards her bedroom. As she walked by the front door, she decided that a quick glance out of the peephole would help calm her restless mind. The chill worsened with each step she took towards the door and further away from the safety and warmth of her blankets. She pressed her empty head against the cold metal door and took a deep breath before leading her eye to the peephole. At first, she could only see an inky blackness and somehow seemed to swirl in itself. When she blinked in surprise, the void melted away. She wished it hadn't. In its place, there stood what she could only guess was once a man. The limbs were long and inhumanly awkward, with bulky joints branching off into several arms, not unlike the branches of a tree. The creature was draped in a black suit, somehow making the thing more nightmarish to her. The icing on the proverbial cake, however, was what passed as the hellish thing's face. It was as though her mind blurred the ghastly visage to spare itself further shock and horror. She shoved herself away from the door, and with her hand still pressed against it, the scalding mug of coffee fell, the liquid burning her bare legs as she fell backwards and tried to crawl away from the door. She knew, somehow, that her mind hadn't been playing tricks on her. As she crab-walked away from the door, she watched his tendrils as black as a void. She first saw snake around through the cracks. The girl was trapped between the instinct to flee and the gut feeling to not turn her back on the door. When the door jolted, the urge to flee overcame her, and she slipped in the burning liquid as she tried to make it back to her room. She knew deep down that she was trapping herself in a corner, but she had to get away from the door. The girl was halfway down the hallway when she heard the previously locked door creak open. She screamed and slipped into a wall, cracking her chin on it and stunning her. After that, there was only blackness.
Ooh.
Nicole? A warm male voice snapped the woman out of her trance. As she turned around, she was met by one of her sister's doctors. She nodded, not sure if she should say anything or even if she could find her voice if she did have something to say. That morning, she'd gotten an urgent phone call from the hospital saying that her sister, Lindsay, was there. Before they'd even let her see her, the doctors had pulled her off to the side and insisted that they talk to her about what might have happened. Phrases like self-inflicted and assault had been thrown around, and Nicole felt her mind reel. She still hadn't fully understood what they had been saying until she saw Lindsay with her own eyes. Her sister had a bandage wrapped around her head, covering both of her ears as well as her eyes. They said it was to keep her now deadened eyes from drying out and trying to keep infection out of the wounds Lindsay had made to her ears. The doctors had guessed that either she or someone else had jammed a pencil into them to keep her off balance or to deafen herself against something. There was a mix of first and second degree burns on her hands, legs, and feet from what was assumed to be the coffee her neighbors found slipped all over the entry to her apartment. As Nicole walked into her sister's hospital room the first time, she thought she had spied the silhouette of a man in the window. That, she knew, was impossible. Her sister's room was on the third story.
Ah!
So that is Slender Man.
I have, like, all over body goosebumps.
It's ooky spooky.
So he, like, took her eyes out? Is that what happened?
It's... So there's a lot... Of the ones that I read, it's almost like... You don't know. It's self, like she gouged her eyes out and she shoved things in her ears to keep, and her mind like blurred his face because it was too horrific. Okay.
Ooh. Yucky.
Yucky. So, it's things like this that can, you know, sometimes turn into something a little darker than just ooky spooky blithering on the internet.
Ooh, so that is a perfect cue into It's My Turn.
Ooh.
All right. So we have a crime portion of Slender Man. And this is going to revolve around three 12-year-old little babies. They're 12.
Children.
Children.
Itty-bitty babies. Not teenagers.
No. They're children. Like, they have not even remotely fully developed. So, they're basically still fetuses in this world.
Anybody younger than 20 is a toddler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, sit down. The world is waiting for you, I promise. Like, you don't have to go find it faster.
Please enjoy the time when you don't have to be in it.
Right. Okay. So, Anissa Weyer was born November 10th, 2001. Morgan Geyser was born May 16th, 2002, and then Peyton Lautner was born February 13th, 2002. Peyton and Morgan became friends in the fourth grade. Peyton said she saw Morgan sitting alone at school and decided to join her. They were both kind of loners, so they kind of found like solace in each other, and they became best friends very quickly, and they didn't really talk to anybody else. So, you know, in middle school and high school, you have like a group of friends. Like, it was just these two. Like, they didn't have a group. Anissa joined the group, joined the two in sixth grade. So their duo became a trio. But for 2 years, it was just Peyton and Morgan.
Okay.
Morgan and Anissa became obsessed with Slender Man.
Ooh.
Pretty early. So all of this takes place their sixth grade year.
Oh, wait, when were they born?
2001 and 2002.
2000 and? There's more. 2002.
2002? Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's just wild. That, yeah. Like, doesn't sound like a real birth year.
Too young.
Yeah. 2002. Okay. Go on. Babies.
Yeah.
They're all babies.
Like, they're 18 now.
Oh, my gosh.
Still babies.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So, Peyton was very afraid of Slender Man. Like, she was not about it. She didn't love all of the fan fiction that went along with him and all of the Photoshops and then people draw, like, pictures of him.
Scary.
Like, he is scary and very popular.
Yeah.
So, Morgan and Anissa, like, had all of those things and they really talked about him a lot. And Peyton was just, like, trying to be kind of, I think she was probably seeing this trio and being like, I want more friends than this. And the other two were definitely very good with it just being the three of them.
Yeah.
So I think Peyton was looking forward and being like, we're getting ready to, like, go into middle school and high school and, like, wanting to do sports and expanding their group a little bit. And the other two were not about it. But she didn't want to be the outsider of their group. So she just kind of went along with it.
Aww.
But she wasn't, like, super involved.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Morgan for a minute. Morgan's mother describes her as a sweet and smart girl, but during the documentary I watched called Beware of the Slender Man on HBO, she said that she saw signs that Morgan lacked empathy very early.
Ooh.
They would watch movies together, and Morgan wouldn't react the way that her mom and dad thought she would, especially during moments of trauma toward a main character. So, for example, they watched Bambi together, and Morgan's mom was very much like, oh my gosh, she's going to have a really big reaction when Bambi's mom dies.
Yeah.
And she didn't. She was just like, Bambi, run, get out of there, save yourself. She didn't react.
Okay, I'm alarmed because that's the same reaction I had when I watched Bambi.
Well,
I'm just a fan of self-preservation.
I mean, same. But, yeah, she didn't have any kind of, like, sadness or anything like that. And that was during all movies. Not just that one. Morgan's mom said there were many examples of that where she was, like, preparing herself to, like, console her daughter.
And
she never had to.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a little ooky spooky. A
little bit.
Meanwhile, I saw, like, in my defense, because now I feel like a psychopath, I saw a really cute old couple at Cosmos yesterday. Anna and I went out to breakfast. They were so sweet that I cried.
Oh, gosh.
And then I literally stole their server away, and I was like, give me their check.
Oh, my goodness.
They were so cute. I cried. So I'm not a psychopath.
Jenny, you cry when you see somebody who looks like even a tiny little bit like Santa Claus.
I do.
So I'm not worried about you.
I have a hard time. I will say this is a weird phobia, but I'm scared to go out during Christmas time because there's been a couple incidences where, like, you know, the like traveling Santas or whatever. Yeah. Like I've seen like a Santa get out of his car, like at a gas station. And I'm like, it's Santa. I just, when I see him and I'm not expecting to, I just...
We get a little emotional about it.
Oh, I love Christmas. It's so soon. We're like, what's today? We're 7 months and 12 days away.
Yeah. Better get your Christmas shopping done. The countdown has begun. Okay. So her mom knew that Morgan was really interested in Slender Man, but she didn't really think a whole lot of it. You know, like, it's just, it's a cartoon. Like, as an adult, you can look at it and be like, this isn't real.
Yeah.
So she thought that, you know, as a kid, she would come home from the library with, like, Stephen King books. And she was really interested in kind of, like, the horror stories and spooky stuff as a kid. So she was just like, ah, Morgan's the same way I was. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, later down the road, Morgan would be diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Mm. Ooh, that's a hard diagnosis.
Yeah. Oh, we find out that Matt, who is Morgan's dad, is also schizophrenic.
Uh-huh.
So we know that that is genetic, but it's also reliant on stress, and it's just how your genetics react to stress.
Yes.
So it was really sad because there's part in this documentary where they're interviewing her dad, and her dad, like, talks about some of his symptoms. And they didn't know that she was diagnosed until later when they couldn't really have a whole lot of communication with her.
Was it after she was... Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll circle back to that.
So, Morgan, like, her dad wants to, like, talk to her about, like, the things that he sees and the hallucinations he has to see if, like, she sees them too.
Yeah.
And he's like, this could have been something so good for us because we wouldn't be alone. And he was like, I grew up thinking I was alone and thinking all these things that I was seeing and hearing were just, like, I was crazy.
We don't have any good type of care for people who have schizophrenia. There is no good care.
None. Zero.
Especially for children. And to be, how old was she when she was diagnosed?
She would have been, like, 13 or 14.
That is incredibly rare.
Right.
You are more likely to be diagnosed between the ages of, like, 18 and 28.
Right. Yeah. So, very rare for a child to be diagnosed with schizophrenia, but we'll find out kind of what led to that, like, led to her being diagnosed early. So, let's move on to Anissa.
Okay.
So, she was in choir, and her dad was also interviewed in this documentary, and he says that he kept a very close eye on all of his kids, and he truly seems like the kind of dad that just, like, really kept an eye out. Like, he wasn't like, she just gets to do whatever she wants and, like, oh my god, I'm so surprised. Like, he's like, there was, our doors were open, like, unless you got out of the shower, like, your door to your room is open, I'm allowed to come in and ask you what you're doing, I'm allowed to see your search history, like, all of these things that good all parenting. Of his kids knew.
Yeah. Right.
So he was very surprised that she was able to keep something from him, but she was able to because kids are smart.
Kids are smarter than their parents. And technology usually, like, moves faster than a parent or somebody older can keep up.
Right. Like, there's things I don't know how to do. And, like, if my 18-year-old sister, like, says, look at this thing you could do, I'd be like, can you show me that?
The little one out there, 5 years old, knows how... He can get on YouTube. He can, like, type it, like, get wherever he's trying to go. I picked up my phone the other day, and he had taken, like, a 23-photo selfie session.
Nice.
These young kids are geniuses with technology.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I tried to set up a Ring doorbell the other day, and I had to call in a 22-year-old to help me.
Help! Okay. So, in this documentary, though, we see Anissa's YouTube search history. So, we see, like, her dad go through this search history, and he's clearly done this before, so the documentary is definitely focused on, like, kind of doing a montage of what
happens
and, like, what a 12-year-old girl is searching for. So it starts out very normal and, like, very 12-year-old girl. So there's, like, the YouTube videos of what happens when white rabbits eat red raspberries, and this little rabbit's just like, yeah, on a red raspberry, and they get red all over themselves. It's cute.
I want to watch that.
It's adorable. she was obsessed with cats. And so there's like a couple cat videos.
Aww.
And then it goes into, we see a video of a cat that's in a tub, and it looks like a big cat, like a lynx or...
like Maine Coon?
Yeah, maybe, like, it's a big cat.
Okay.
And this woman who's filming is like, I'm just gonna put, like, a live mouse in there and just see what happens. And so, like, the cat's in the bathtub, and she puts the mouse in it, and there's the whole video of this cat, like, toying with the mouse and then eating it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So you're like... ooh, that got dark.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see kind of where things are going.
Okay.
She had been searching videos that are like, could you be a psychopath? Like all those tests that are like, if you don't yawn when somebody else yawns, that means you're a psychopath.
I always thought that was true.
I don't always yawn when somebody else yawns.
It's because you're a psychopath.
I honestly concerned.
If we talk about yawning too much, I will yawn. That's how I'm also sleepy.
Same. Okay. Perpetually. So she leaves comments on these videos like, LOL, yeah, they're coming to take me away right now. Ha 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 ha.
Ew.
So that's a little unfortunate. And then there was one that was very creepy, and it was like a clown or like, it looked kind of like a Joker clown type of cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And it like told a joke about like, why do you put a baby in a blender with its feet first?
Ugh. Do you remember those jokes? There was, like, when we were in high school, I don't know, maybe it was just our brand of weird bad band kids, but, like, all of the, like, do you not remember the dead baby jokes? Were those a thing at Adams Central High School?
I think I blocked them out, but they do sound familiar.
I just remember, like, a bunch of, like, you know, really shitty high school boys, as high school boys are, telling each other dead baby jokes in the back of the band bus, and me being... horrified.
Ugh.
It's gross. That, like, era of...
I'm not convinced that teenage boys need to be anywhere in society. Lock them away.
Yeah, I'm really trying to bite my tongue here, so I don't, like, alienate our teenage boy audience.
All four of you.
No, there's no way there's four.
There's no.
There's zero.
One guy, like, accidentally found us
on the
internet.
I'm sure that there's been a good teenage boy. I've never met one.
I'm hard-pressed to find one. I'm sure there is one. I'm sure he didn't talk to me because he was a good kid.
Yeah. You were the creepy of... Well, you were sad poetry.
Yeah, I was an emo girl.
Yeah. I got it.
Sorry. Okay, so... Anissa was bullied quite heavily in fourth and fifth grade, and her teacher described her as an outlier, and she would cry every couple of weeks about kids being mean to her, and the teacher was interviewed as well, and he was just very much saddened by
the whole
thing, and, like, I wish there was more I could have done, but... So, and that was the couple years leading up to when she kind of met up with Morgan and Peyton.
Okay.
And then there are a lot of stories about Slender Man being bullied as well.
Ah.
So I think that that had a lot to do with why Anissa felt very drawn to him.
Sure.
Makes
you relate to the protagonist.
Yeah. And if, like, he was all powerful and had, like, all of these people, like, talking about him and obsessed with him and all of these fan fictions and drawings, maybe she could grow beyond being bullied too into something special.
I hate that there are people in this world who, like, feel hope in that type of way.
100%. So on May 30th, 2014, the three girls had a sleepover. Their regular sleepover activities of roller skating, pizza, and playing with their American Girl dolls turned a little odd.
Did you have an American Girl doll?
No, I was poor. Those are expensive.
Sorry. I had Samantha. I had a good time with her. I still have her. She's right there in the closet.
Aw, I'm happy for you. I'm happy that Samantha has a good home. No, I read all of the American Girl doll books.
Yeah. They're good.
Yeah.
My mom bought me Samantha because she was raised by her grandmother.
Aww.
She's like, I was raised by my grandmother, and we, like, looked alike. That whole chestnut
song and dance.
Yeah.
So This whole thing turned a little odd. Peyton said that looking back, the sleepover was a little different from all the others because Morgan didn't want to stay up all night. She just wanted to go to bed. And it was Morgan's birthday party. Like, that was the reason behind the sleepover.
Weird.
So she was like, that's kind of weird, but I guess whatever.
Sure.
So the next morning, they got up, they ate breakfast. Morgan's mom she brought donuts, and she had, like, fruit and strawberries and, like, all kinds of good stuff for the girls. And she said that they all just sat around and talked, all other 12-year-old girls, and had a good time. And then they asked to go to the park.
Yeah.
And she was like, of course you can go to the park.
Yeah.
So... all three girls went to the park, and after playing on the swings for a little while, they went to the bathroom, where Anissa attacked Peyton. She tried to knock Peyton out, but it didn't work, and Peyton was fighting back while Morgan looked on. So, at this point, Peyton is like, what is happening?
Right.
They had tried to get her to, like, play a game and, like, go to sleep in the bathroom so they could, like, knock her out while she was asleep. And Anissa later says that they didn't want to hear her scream because Anissa, like, that's the thing that gets her bad is, like, she can't hear people scream. And I'm like, then maybe don't try to kill people.
Well, listen, I don't think I've heard people scream very often in my life, but I've never tried to kill somebody.
Right. So the attack in the bathroom stopped, finally, because Peyton was fighting back. But Peyton, not wanting to be alone in the park...
This is a bathroom at the park?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a bathroom at the park, which is, like, situated in, like, a wooded area.
Ooh.
So...
Oh, I bet that is a really gross bathroom.
Oh, yeah. No.
No, no.
Smelled bad, I bet.
Spiders.
Oh, gross. Gets cleaned, like, once a week.
If... No way. That's so liberal. Gets cleaned once a financial quarter.
It's probably scheduled to get cleaned once a week, and then it gets cleaned, like,
it's probably because it's some, like, teenage boy intern at the parks department scheduled to do it, and instead he's, like, smoking weed in his girlfriend's car.
Ew. Yeah, that bathroom's probably gross.
Yeah.
So, Pan didn't want to be separated from her friends. And she didn't understand what was happening. She was like, that was weird. So they were like, okay, well, let's go play hide and seek. And Peyton's like, I don't really want to do that. And they're like, you can pick the next game. Just play with us. So she goes along.
Okay.
And Morgan describes it like she and Anissa would be the lioness hunting a zebra.
Ew.
Yeah. And that's like, she says that in an interview.
Ew.
I don't like it. Okay, sorry, my pages are stuck together. Okay. So, once they're in the woods, the attack began again. Morgan, this time, sat on Peyton's legs so she couldn't move and bent down and whispered, I'm sorry. And reports on what happens next, the details vary because Anissa and Morgan give very different accounts about what led up to the attack and how the attack happened, but we do know that Morgan stabbed Peyton 19 times.
19?
19
times. 19 times?
Mm-hmm.
With what?
A 5-inch kitchen knife.
Like a steak knife? Or like a butcher knife?
Like a butcher knife. 5 inches!
What, girl? What? We'll post a picture of what Taylor just said was 5 inches on Instagram.
Listen, I like
trying to,
like...
That was a solid 14.
Fishtail.
Like, five?
It was this big. No, okay. All right. It was a 5-inch kitchen knife. Oh. I'm guessing a butcher knife, but...
Okay. That's insane. 19? Yeah,
19 times. And it was mostly to her torso, but she was stabbed in the legs and the arms a few times, and the...
From her, like...
Yeah.
Defending herself. Yep. Yeah.
And the knife missed, I think it was her heart or a major artery by less than a millimeter. I mean, it was a pretty, pretty vicious attack.
That's insane. Like, to be stabbed that... Like, the rage that it... I'm sorry, that really...
They're 12! I don't even think that I had felt, like, true anger at 12.
No. Well, I don't know. I was a pretty angry teenager, but then I, like, didn't feel rage again until I was, like, late 20s.
I mean, I'm sure I was angry or, like, upset, but, like, that blinding type of rage that makes you, like, act like a psychopath, like...
Well, I've never had the type of rage that made me stab somebody 19 times.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this gets a little bit gross, but Anissa...
Is it a little bit grim?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, it is. Anissa told Morgan, because Morgan was like, I can't do it. You need to do it. Anissa was, like, trying to comfort Morgan into, like, getting her to stab their friend.
What the hell?
I know. I know. It's... what?
They are 12 years old. Taylor.
Babies. Children. Like, I could pick them up and, like, throw them across a football field. Like, shut up.
Sorry, I just had the visual of you donkey kicking a child. It's a good one.
Tempted.
Yeah.
So, Anissa tells Morgan to go ahead and start. She's like... stands there and says now, and Morgan says I can't, and she said do it, go ballistic, go crazy. Blech. And that's when Morgan starts to stab her.
What? Why? Where's the why? You're telling me a lot about the what.
I have a bullet point that says but why.
You do. Take a picture of that, post it on the Instagram.
Okay. I literally have a...
it's just that but why.
So, Morgan and Anissa left Peyton in the woods to die. They just, like, turned around and went toodles. So,
bye, girl. See you Monday.
Toodles. Bye.
Outie.
No. So, okay. So, here's the why. Morgan and Anissa believed that Slender Man was real, and he had told them that unless they killed Peyton, something bad was going to happen to them and their families.
What?
Yes. They wanted to become his proxies or servants. And once you, like, become a proxy or a servant, you're loyal to him and he'll protect you. And they have this fictional... I mean, we know it's fictional. They thought it was real. It's a fictional place called the Slender Mansion.
Okay.
And this is supposedly located in the Nicolet National Forest.
The what?
Nicolet? Yeah.
Where's that at?
Wisconsin? I think.
Real, like, oh, yeah, like, a king of all mythological creatures is going to pick Wisconsin. Okay.
Listen. All when right. I was 12, I wasn't sure there was a whole lot outside of Indiana
either. He just wants to be, like, close to, like, Milwaukee.
Yeah. So, they also wanted to prove the skeptics wrong and prove that he was real. Their delusion, like I said, something bad would happen if they didn't kill Peyton. They felt like they truly had to do it. And that's what they kept repeating over to the, like, detectives and interviewers, was that we had to.
Did... So we know Morgan had a diagnosis.
Right.
But did her friends...
No. So... what they think happened was that the social isolation that the girls... encountered so early on, like when they were 10, 11, 12, they were so reliant on each other. They were very codependent. And the fact that if one of them believed something, the other one had to too. So Anissa was actually the one that, like, introduced Morgan to Slender Man. She was the one that was like, oh my gosh, you have to read these creepypastas. And Morgan was like,
he's real.
He's real. And so Anissa was like, I mean, I don't know, but okay. And she's like, no, I see him. So
I can see how it's two girls at a sleepover playing light as a feather, stiff as a board. It's so they feed off of each other.
100%.
Okay.
And, well, Anissa is never really like, I've seen him, but if your only friend says that he comes to her in her dreams, or she sees him in the corner of the room, and she's never been one to lie, and she truly believes he's there. Okay. And he told her, like, we have to kill Peyton. So they tried. Thank goodness. Peyton is able to drag herself to the road and is discovered by a cyclist named Greg Steinberg. Greg calls 911 and stays with Peyton until the ambulance arrives.
Good guy, Greg. I've never met a Greg that wasn't a good... Oh, that's not true. I had a boss at the bar I worked at when I was in college, and he sucked. But every other Greg has been a really good guy. I feel like Gregs are solid. They're, like...
they're all right.
They're, like, corn-fed. They're just, like, good old... They're, like, dudes and, like,
like Reeboks and like cargo shorts.
I feel like a Greg has like a good solid heart that makes questionable decisions.
I just see Greg mowing his lawn like, how you doing?
You picture Greg as like a 50-year-old dude.
I do.
I picture Greg as like in his mid-20s, like still hasn't gotten his shit figured out yet, but is like married with two kids.
That's a Trent to me. That's Trent.
Okay. I can see where you're going with that. Mm-hmm. That's my experience with Greg's.
Okay.
So the ambulance comes. Morgan and Anissa try to run away. So the mythos of Slenderman is that he lives in this mansion in Wisconsin's Nicolet National Forest. And the girl said that they wanted to find Slenderman now that their deed was done and to prove to him that they were loyal. So the plan was to just, and I quote, walk forward until they got to the forest. The whole time I'm watching this documentary, I was like, oh, I thought they were in the forest. Like, I thought the park that they were in was the National Forest. Nope. The National Forest was a 4 to 5 hour drive from where they were. And they were just going to walk it.
What?
Because they're babies. And they don't understand distance.
12-year-olds don't understand miles.
No.
There has to be some that do. These girls don't.
No, they don't. They didn't have to do that, like, sixth grade project where you, like, plan the perfect vacation and you have to, like, do the map where you, like, figure out how many miles it is from your house to L.A., which is where I plan to go on vacation, and how many money dollars it was going to take and gas mileage and to rent a car.
Yeah, sorry. My school didn't have that project.
Oh, we did. And it was before, like, MapQuest. So I had to get, like, my little ruler out.
Oh, and a map.
Map.
Do y'all remember when maps used to be on paper and your parents would be in the front seat arguing about where the hell you are in your state? And your mom has, like, a map that's, and they're all like, well, it looks like we're over here. And if you take 45 southeast for about 12 inches, you're going to get to where you're going.
I just remember a lot of, can we just pull over? Can we, like, you're passing the things as I'm trying to talk about them. Can we just pull over?
Just go into the gas station. We'll just ask where we are.
I went on a lot of vacations with my friends Abby and Allie, and they were sisters, and I was always like,
third wheel.
Yeah, I mean, it was never even a question. It was like, hey, we're going to Hershey's National Park.
And somebody tell,
like,
Taylor to pack her bags.
Right. And their dad, like, loved to gawk outside of the windows and stuff, but he was driving. And so
you can't be the gawker and the driver.
No, but he was both. And so we never had a plan. I think this is where my fear of not having a plan comes from. Because we'd be driving, and we wouldn't have a hotel. And we would just, like, try to find one. But there was, like, 5, sometimes 6 of us, and so we would need 2 hotel rooms, but they also didn't want to spend the money on 2 hotel rooms.
Uh-huh.
So we'd be, like, at...
You're at a Red Roof.
Yeah.
Somewhere off the middle of the highway in, like, Macon, Georgia.
Yeah, Axe Murderville, Georgia.
Yes, Axe Murderville, Georgia.
And we're, like, I don't know, I guess somebody's sleeping on the floor, and somebody's, like, in the bathroom tub, like...
Like, the floor's sticking, we don't know why.
Right. So Arnie... Sorry, calling him out. He's, like, looking around, and their mom would be, like, we would see her, like, tapping his leg, being, like, Arnie! Because he would be, like, drifting.
Whichever way.
Like, his head was turned. There were so many times that none of us could sleep, because this man would just, like,
skirt,
like, get on those, like, road bumps every, like, 15, 20 minutes. Oh, my gosh. And, like, we would all just, like, laugh so hard because it was nonstop the entire way there.
Aww.
So, okay. Why am I talking about that?
Family vacations.
Family vacations.
Talking about how 12-year-olds don't know how far distance. Away. Yeah.
Okay, so they were found very quickly.
I said, why are we talking about
this? Why are we even talking about this? They were found very quickly. They still had the knife in their backpack. Like, they didn't even, like, try to discard of the murder weapon.
12-year-olds can be heinous, but they're not criminal masterminds.
No. So, Anissa and Morgan were originally charged with first-degree intentional homicide, but there were a lot of petitions to have the girls move from adult court to juvenile court.
Oh, they tried to try them as adults?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez Louise.
Because of intent.
Well, because it was premeditated?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't they accidentally hurt her, or they didn't know their strength, or they didn't know what would happen, and they admitted to everything. What's the first rule when you get arrested?
Shut the heck up.
They didn't do any of that.
Are you proud of me for not saying the F word?
I did. I saw it flash your mind.
It took a lot of strength to not say it.
We've been very good. We've been 50 minutes in.
I know. I've been speed drinking this bottle of wine to help my blood pressure. I haven't said the F word once.
Wow.
Maybe I have.
Listen, we're not going to promise that this is how it's going to always go, but...
Very rarely will it go this way.
Of all the stories we've told, this is, like, on the lesser end of, like, awful.
Yeah, 12-year-old murder. It's, like, very lighthearted.
She survived!
That's true.
She's alive. She's doing great. She's 18.
Is it assault with a deadly weapon?
What?
Her, because she didn't die, so it's like not manslaughter.
No, it's still, they get tried and they get charged with attempted or with what was it, first degree intentional homicide.
Even if she didn't die?
Yep.
That seems wild.
They left her to die.
Yeah, but she didn't.
Not
I just like as a lawyer, I'd be like, but did she die though? Did she? I feel very bad for Peyton. I do. Right. I know my tone didn't reflect that, but I do feel for, my eyes are genuine. You just can't see. It's a podcast. But, like, as a lawyer, I'd be like, you can't charge her or charge them with homicide. Maybe, like, assault with a deadly weapon. Maybe not aggravated assault because she, like, didn't really act. Or, like, premeditated, attempted murder.
Yeah.
But, like, not a homicide.
Yeah.
She didn't die.
Ooh, I'm just telling you what happened.
All right.
So, okay, due to premeditation, viciousness, and lack of remorse after the incident, the judge decided that they would be tried in adult court.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
I'm not mad.
They sound pretty cold.
Yeah.
Did they interview them after the...
Yeah.
Oh, your eyes got big. Yeah. Is some shit coming?
It's just so weird. It's so hard to, like, explain their tone. But while they were explaining, they explained what happened. They were very truthful and...
Oh, with the police? They were just like, yeah, Slenderman said we needed to for Slenderman.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being the cop, like...
They're like, okay, hold on. Explain this to me again.
So you saw a Slenderman, and he told you to kill somebody.
And they're like, no, he's like a ghost.
Slenderman. Spooky, spooky, lanky boy.
Right. He, like, we've never seen him in person. We just know that he exists.
Right.
So, it's very weird. And I got real true, like, in my heart and soul, heebie-jeebies from Morgan during her interview.
Okay.
She sounded very childlike, but intentionally.
What do you mean sound? Like, can you hear it?
Yeah, you can see. There's, like, video. You can watch the entire interview.
What?
Yeah. That's this whole documentary.
I only know one small itty-bitty fact about this entire case, and if you don't touch on it, I'll tell you what it is.
Okay. Morgan is, like, sitting kind of, like, with her knee up on a chair, just kind of, like, looking at the interviewer, and he's trying to go through what happened, and she's like, I don't know, Slenderman just told me that I needed to do it.
Ew.
It's gross. It's so weird. And she just sounds so rehearsed and...
Like cool, calm, and collected for having just tried to kill somebody?
Fake. Very... If this girl were to be in, like, regular society when she was, like, 17, I would hate her.
Well, yeah. She would probably be out ruining, like, 45-year-old men's lives and stealing them for their money.
Yep.
Yeah.
So... It was very odd and very weird. Anissa. Yeah. She asked a lot of really random questions that I was like, girl, what are you worried about that for?
What?
She asked how far they walked. Like, from the time that she killed Peyton to how far, like, it was until the police got her. Because she's like, I'm not normally very athletic, so I'm just curious.
Like, very concerned with details.
Yeah. Well, you should probably be worried about, like...
I wonder if it's her trying to, like, deflect from the seriousness of the situation. Trying to, like, ask.
Could be.
Did they tell her? How far did they get?
She was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know idea.
Let's talk about the girl you stabbed.
Yes. It was just... highly recommend watching it. You can watch it on YouTube for free.
Okay.
But it's just... very unsettling to watch these two girls. And I'm not saying that the detectives don't always do the wrong thing, but they purposefully did not offer these girls their phone call and did not offer to let them have their parents with them during the interview.
Why?
They could not give an answer to that. So...
Don't, as a minor, you have to... You can't interview a minor without their parents' consent or their parent present.
They did.
Listen, I'm no, like, pre-law major, but I have seen every single episode of Law and Order at least 3 times.
Mm-hmm. And what we've learned from that.
You can't interrogate a minor without a parent's consent.
Yeah, they read them their rights.
And well, it doesn't matter if you're 12.
Yeah, but they did not offer them a phone call, and they did not offer to let them wait until their parents were present.
Shady cops.
Ooh, not great.
Not awesome. Not awesome. Police work.
That's what happened. So, okay, so the petition was denied for them to be moved to juvenile court, which we know from my last murder was that the girls were tried in juvenile court and their whole identities have been preserved from the sister killers.
Well, aren't things different in up there in old Canada?
Yes. Yeah. So I think part of the difference is that their identities, like, here wouldn't be completely concealed.
Oh, no. Then, no, you Google the snot out of those two.
No. But they can only be held in, like, jail until they're 18. They're released when they, like, hit adulthood.
So, like, if you're 12 and you murder somebody and you turn 18, you get released.
If you're tried in juvenile court.
Ooh.
Right.
So that's why they're trying to try them as adults, so they could, yes, like, get, like, a 10-year sentence.
Right.
And actually have to serve jail time. Yep. Real jail time.
Yeah. And they were very concerned about the intent behind the attack and their mental state. Are they truly capable of growing past this and becoming normal members of society?
Are they?
So the jury says no. So while they were tried as adults, the jury found both girls not guilty by reason of insanity.
Both of them?
Yes. They were sentenced, however, to 2 different terms in mental institutions.
Okay.
So Anissa was sentenced to 25 years in a mental institution.
25 years?
Yeah.
And she wasn't did she catch a diagnosis?
No.
Whoa. What about Morgan, though?
So Morgan was sentenced to 40 years in a mental institution. So she'll be there until she's 53.
Listen, I'd rather go to prison. I'd rather go to prison.
It's scary. It seems very scary to be in a mental institution for that long.
There are, and you like to think now that, like, we've really improved the status of a mental. I absolutely not. In mental institutions, the majority of them, like, when we think about our local, like, state funded mental, those are not long-term intensive care. Mm-mm. Whatever. And a lot of these people require a lot of intense counseling and supervision and a lot of, like, specific care.
Mm-hmm.
And is the state of Indiana going to spend, or state of whatever,
Wisconsin
going to spend? No.
Nope.
They are hell holes.
Mm-hmm.
The prison system gets more funding because they're privately owned, because there's more money being funneled into it. They make money out of people. The state does not.
Mm-hmm.
It's
very unsettling.
Well, I'm sure I'll get on a soapbox, like, later and more in depth about the issue that I have with the state caring for people with mental health issues.
I'm sure we will. So, the interviewing detective, when he was interviewing Morgan, said that she never showed emotion during the interview. She didn't show any remorse. She didn't show any kind of emotion at all. So he was very unsettled by that. During that same interview, Morgan said, "I've wanted to hurt people before, but they're not nice to me, so they actually deserve it."
Ooh.
So,
ooh.
Instead of serving jail time, Morgan was sentenced to 40 years in a mental institution. I believe both of them had to serve a part of their sentence in, like, solitary confinement. So, like, a jail-like area,
like a jail,
of this mental institution. And then after they serve their 3 years of solitary, they can be in a communal area.
Because you know what helps mental illness?
Solitude! Yeah. Just put them away.
Excellent.
Act like they don't exist.
Listen, out of sight, out of mind.
Yes. So I do know Morgan is voluntarily taking her antipsychotic medication, and she is doing the work to try to be better. She's in counseling, but, I mean, she doesn't have a choice. So she can petition the courts for to lessen her sentence, like, every few years.
Well, your mental state from when you're 12 to when you're 18 to when you're 28 are all vastly different. Is she, like, that... I mean, she must be that critically ill if she, at 12, stabbed her friend 19 times.
Yep. And she... The way she talks about it now is that she still acts like... Like, it, not like it didn't happen, but, like, it wasn't her who did it. Like, she still talks about Peyton like they're best friends. And...
What does Peyton have to say about all this?
She is very much like, I'm better for it now. Like, I know I have a lot of trust issues in people.
Yeah!
But my scars will fade. I'm recovering. I'm still doing well. I'm going to finish high school. I'm going to go to college. And they won't. They don't get to do anything like that.
God.
So there are interviews I didn't get to watch that are Peyton, so I don't have, like, a lot to say on her behalf.
She probably just graduated from high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, very, very crazy. But, yes, I didn't have time.
Okay, that's fair. Well.
To watch Peyton's interviews, but they're out there. You can find them.
Okay.
She seems like she's doing fine. Not fine, but doing relatively all right. So, one last thing. The Slender Man creator, Eric Knudsen, a.k.a. Victor Scourge, said, I am deeply saddened by the tragedy in Wisconsin, and my heart goes out to the families of those affected by this terrible act. The administrator for the Creepypasta Wiki said that the stabbing was an isolated incident and does not accurately represent the Creepypasta community. He also stated that Creepypasta Wiki is a literary website and does not condone murder or satanic rituals.
You know... It's got to be pretty dark for the CEO of Creepypasta to be like, don't kill people.
Right. Like, just a reminder.
Yeah.
So, one thing one of the interviewers brought up, or one of the people who was interviewed in this documentary that I thought was really fascinating, was that we, in our culture, we prolong certain types of delusions in children. Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny. And we don't want to tell children that those aren't real. So when they come to us and say, I'm seeing something that's not real, parents, like, struggle with that in saying, like, this isn't real, that's fake, that doesn't exist, because they don't want to destroy
that childlike wonder.
Yeah. And I can't remember which girl it was, but one of them, her mother said that she still believed in Santa until she was 11. So she went from believing in Santa to believing in Slender Man.
Listen, I'm 29 years old, and there's still, like, 15% of me that actually believes in Santa Claus.
I love that for you.
Thanks.
So it's just one of those things that I was just, hadn't really thought of, the fact that we, like, perpetuate
false realities onto our kids, and then when somebody is having a delusion like this, it makes it that much harder for them to...
Right, and then we teach them... From when they are babies, that if you're not good, something bad will happen to you. If you're bad, Santa Claus won't bring you presents. If you wake up in the middle of the night, the Tooth Fairy isn't going to leave you your money. Like, all of these things. So
we manipulate people's behavior.
Right. And so for us to say, like, this is stupid for them to think that if they didn't kill their friend, Slender Man wouldn't come out of the walls. But... They're 12. All of their childhood, they've been told that bad things will happen if this imaginary person catches you doing something.
Yeah. It's not appeased.
Right. So, that's my like, ooh, society, man.
The only thing that I know about this, and it's because it's William. Hi, William.
Hi, Will.
Love you. His favorite thing about this whole story is that, I think it was Morgan when she was interviewed, and they asked her, like, why'd you do it? And she said, stabby stab, stab stab.
Ugh, I didn't see that in this documentary.
That's William quotes it all the time.
Gross.
So gross.
So my last thing, I have a poem
that okay.
I was going to see if you were going to read, but it's short. So I will read it just to close out our Slender Man saga.
Oh, it's a little like open mic night over here. Okay.
Going back to my roots.
I love so all right, stupid. Go on.
Okay. Oh, should I travel through the woods, or should I not, wishing I would, for above me lurks within the trees, no one could hear my deathly screams. The palest man, the blackest suit, bigger than the tallest brute. Six black arms will grab you up or stalk you till you just give up. A hat that bears upon his head makes your soul fill up with dread. He takes you when you least expect, boil you up, and eat your neck.
Ew.
Ugh. He'll leave your body not to eat, but staple your corpse to a tree. Fear the man, the slender man, for he can do what no man can.
Ew. Ookie spooky lanky boy. Taylor, I just hate him.
Blech. Blech. So. No thank you.
Woo! That's a big old dose of no thanks.
Hee hee. So.
Cool.
Thanks for
hanging in there. Thanks for that. This has been, listen, I just have to say it. This has been like a really nice break in the chaos of real life that's happening today.
Yeah. I've been looking forward to this for like a solid 48 hours.
Same.
Because I knew that I was going to be able to sit down and do something that I really like for like an hour to an hour and a half. And now I have to go.
I know, but I have to go back to packing. I wash dishes. My dryer broke, so I'm washing my clothes at like a separate place. I have to go pick up my clothes that are in the dryer.
Oh no.
Because that's what happens when you move.
Of course it is.
Yeah, my dryer broke, my dishwasher broke, my bathtub, like the drain threw up stuff all over. I don't know.
Your AC was broken a couple weeks ago.
My AC was broken a couple weeks ago. It's still a little bit on the struggle bus. My bathroom vent fan is broken. It's... What are my toilets, like, will only flush 50% of the time? I'm ready to move.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our houses are falling apart around us.
Around us in shambles. I'm very excited about the new place. I just want to be there.
And we're going to have our podcast room. We're going to have, like, a little sanctuary. We need to, like, cast a little bit and, like, it, like, a protection area.
If you think there's not going to be tiger's eye and selenite in the corners, you're wrong.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
It's gonna happen.
Thank you.
I can't have selenite in my corners on my rooms because my kitten thinks they're fun to play with. And I wake up in the middle of the night with, like, marbles rolling around my floor because they are round.
Nope.
Stupid.
No, it made me so annoyed. Oh, be like, leave my breast. I just charged those.
I know. I'm like, now I have to cleanse them again because you're dumb.
We're running out of Palo Santo.
Thank God you don't have to cleanse selenite.
No.
All right.
Self-cleaning. It's like an oven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Crystal Amateur Hour.
Oh my God. I knew it was coming.
It was coming somewhere. I forgot it in the beginning. I'm back on my grind.
We got it. We got it. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Follow us on
the Sochmeads.
Listen, I wasn't going to say
it. Yes, you were.
But you're going to say it. So follow us on Twitter, Instagram, our Facebook group is amazingly fun, and
email us.
Yeah.
Email us your stories. Rate us on the things if you like us.
Yes, we do have a new listener story to tell you for our next grab bag.
We do?
Yeah.
We do?
Yeah.
I haven't been checking the email.
It's my friend Abby.
Oh!
Oh, yeah. She wrote it.
What up, Abs?
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
Love you lots.
Love you a lot. Be safe out there.
Goodbye.